If you would please turn with me in your Bibles to Luke chapter 1, verse 67 through 80. Luke chapter 1, verse 67 through 80, that's found on page 723 in the Red Bibles. His father, Zechariah, was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied, "Praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, because he has come and has redeemed his people. He has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he said through his holy prophets of long ago, salvation from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us, to show mercy to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant, the oath he swore to our father Abraham, to rescue us from the hand of our enemies and to enable us to serve him without fear in holiness and righteousness before him all our days. And you, my child, will be called a prophet of the Most High, for you will go on before the Lord to prepare the way for him, to give his people the knowledge of salvation through the forgiveness of their sins, because of the tender mercy of our God, by which the rising sun will come to us from heaven to shine on those living in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the path of peace." And the child grew and became strong in spirit, and he lived in the desert until he appeared publicly to Israel.
Good morning. Turn with me to Luke chapter 1 that has just been read for us. Getting ready for Christmas market must be quite a thing, mustn't it? Long-term planning and all those details that need to be attended to. Getting ready for a royal visit must have even more pressure, mustn't it? All the long-term planning and the attention to details, because everything must be ready. And some of you are people who are got a real attention to detail and planning, and there's always those last-minute preparations, isn't there? So that everything is in place as it ought to be for the event. So how important is it when God is coming to visit? When God is leaving heaven and coming to earth? And why is God leaving heaven and coming to earth? Zechariah is an old man, and he is one of the last minute details of preparation. And he participates in this divine coming, and he prepares us for it. And he says it's a visit. Verse 68 tells us that God is going to come and visit. Verse 78 refers to this visit. And he breaks into song as he does this, to both teach and celebrate at the same time. God is coming to visit. What does this mean? And why should we celebrate? Now, there are songs that teach us nothing, aren't there? I wish it was Christmas every day. Load of rubbish, isn't it? I mean, who thought they were really doing something brilliant when they wrote that? But this is a song that not only celebrates, but it really does teach us. So I want to see two things this morning in Luke chapter 1. I want us to see God getting everything ready. God getting everything ready. And there have been centuries of long-term planning. And his attention to detail is incredible. Hugh's reference to the whole Rama situation, attention to detail. It's a plan, you see, isn't it? But it's a plan with a purpose. Look at the purpose. He tells us to Zechariah, verse 68, "Blessed is the Lord, the God of Israel, because he has visited and provided redemption for his people. He has raised up a horn of salvation." So the royal visit then is to do something for humanity that only God can do. God has come in love in order to save us, to rescue us, to pay the price — that's what redemption means — to pay the price for our redemption or our freedom. He has come and he has sought to save us, rescue us from danger, our enemies, and to bring us to safety. It's what the event is all about. It's why Zechariah, filled with the Spirit, breaks into praise. Even the naming of his son underlines to us that it's all about God. John means the Lord is gracious. God chose the name for John, not Zechariah or Elizabeth. It's the central point, you see, isn't it? In all the planning, of all the getting ready, it's about God coming to save. God motivated by tender mercy. God motivated by compassion. God motivated by love. And God can only save us. We live in a new age, we're told, where we can save ourselves. We've got a better today now, haven't we? There is so much incredible progress, isn't there? But most of that is only external. Nothing can save us from death itself. Verse 79, Zechariah refers to death and the shadow of death. And there's the reality, isn't there? You see, my friends, this morning, none of us can rescue ourselves personally from death. None of us can rescue each other from death. And none of us can actually do something that reverses death entirely and works backwards over all the people who have died. So we need to be a people who understand that this morning. We are dust, says Shakespeare, and we can't reverse the process. And yet here is someone who has come incredibly to save us, to rescue us from death itself, and therefore from sin, which is the cause of death. No wonder Zechariah opens his mouth in praise, in teaching. God has come to save us. And a mighty salvation it is. It's a horn of salvation. A horn, animal, with a horn has strength. And more than that, a horn can be sounded as a strong note to move forward now that people are ready. And here we are, this man coming and saying to us, God has got everything ready. So let's see two things here. Getting everything ready, long-term planning. Really is important. We can check all this out. That's the amazing thing this morning. Because what Zechariah does is to connect the whole of his thinking to the Old Testament. And you can check it out. The Bible is a unified book of truth. It has got centuries of truth attached to it. So check out David, verse 69. Here there are the prophets spoke about David and that there would be a son of David. Verse 70, come. And so Jesus was born in the city of David. He's born of the tribe of Judah from which David came. We're told that he would be the last great king of David and have a throne forever. Mary was told that by Gabriel, and he would reign forever. So you can check out David, and when you check out David, Jesus checks out. Check out Abraham, verses 72 to 73. The promise is to Abraham, isn't it? That a very serious promise was made by God centuries before Jesus came. That God would bless all nations with salvation. It's an oath. And God fulfilled that promise with the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because Jesus Christ, let's be clear about this, has come to save you as an individual and the world. To bless all nations with salvation. This was a holy covenant that God entered into. And Abraham is the one who tells us that Jesus is true. Getting everything ready. I have to say to you, that's long-term planning, isn't it? And it's awesome. But secondly, there is getting everything ready, last-minute details. The truth breaks the silence now. It's been 400 years since God has spoken to his people prophetically. And now, Zechariah prophesies. You notice that? It tells us that not only did he praise God, but he prophesied. He breaks the silence. And he is breaking his own silence, of course. He has been silent for 9 months. When Gabriel told him he was going to have a son, he didn't believe, and so he went silent. And now the silence is broken. And what does he do? His very first words are words of truth and praise. And it's again a reminder of why God has come. You're not allowed to forget why Jesus came into this world. He has come to save us from our enemies. For a Jew, that may have been political and military. But for us, it isn't, is it? It is from sin that we are to be delivered. And death and the judgment of God are enemies, you see. We are not our own savior. Only God can save us. Only the person of Jesus can do this for us. We cannot do it for ourselves. Do you hear me this morning? We cannot do it for ourselves. But not only to save us from our enemies, that's what Zechariah says, but to enable us to serve God, verses 74 to 75. God is the one that we can now live for, to reflect his character of holiness and righteousness, and to live in freedom. Do you hear that? Without fear. Verse 75. Without fear. The enemies have been dealt with. And now without fear, we can give our lives away to God. Oh, my friends, God was getting everything ready. And that's emphasized really in the details, even in Luke. You see, Mary's song could have been the song, and then you go to the birth of Jesus. So why do we get all this stuff about Zechariah and John the Baptist? Because God wants us to have a lot of truth here before his son comes. Jesus was birthed in truth. So here we have God getting everything ready and telling us the kind of God that he is. But secondly, people getting everything ready. We almost forget that this song is part of the naming day of John. John is mentioned and he is important, but he seems to kind of fade away, doesn't he? You notice that? But now in verses 76 onwards, Zechariah addresses John, his son, who will be called the prophet of the Most High, who is going to go before the Lord and prepare the way of Jesus. He would do that by telling people about salvation, but he would point out Jesus eventually as an older man now, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. The knowledge of salvation. This is the role of John the Baptist, preparing Jesus, the King coming on his royal visit. John had to announce the forgiveness of sins. That the wrong could be taken away, the shame could be dealt with, the guilt could be removed, as people would turn to God. And as they did so, a light would shine upon them. Malachi chapter 4 verse 2 is being referred to when the star shines or the light shines. It's Jesus himself, of course. And he has come to shine, say that there is forgiveness in him, and the removal of death and the shadow of death. And the way of peace. In the new world that Jesus is going to bring about when he returns again, there is another royal visit yet to come. My dear friends, there are no graveyards. If you remember nothing else this morning, there you go, there's your take-home truth. In the new cosmos, there are no graveyards. Hallelujah. Eternity. Death is removed because the forgiveness of sins has been given. And the dead will come alive as Jesus revisits his world, shining in glorious light. Two things as I finish. It's a short one today. It's okay. It's my first morning back. That's all right. You're happy now, aren't you? Yeah? It's been a while, hasn't it, though? We must get ready for the second royal visit. Can I say to you this morning, I'm going to move about, but it's okay. Don't get worried. The second royal visit is going to come. And can I ask you this morning, are you ready? Do you know Jesus in your life? Do you know the forgiveness of sins in him? Have you received eternal life from him as a gift? Has your broken life been made new? Do you recognize that Jesus is your only Savior and the only hope for you? Are you ready? You might be ready for Christmas, I don't know. I'm not ready for Christmas, never am. You might be, long-term planning, attention to details, well done there. But are you ready for the second royal visit of God coming to earth? And secondly, if we are ready, are we helping others to get ready? That often happens in our house when there's something important. My wife has to get me ready. Maybe you're the same as a man. Maybe you're brilliant and don't need that. But here we are, my friends. The second royal visit is coming, isn't it? The king is coming, my friends. You can say amen. That's our hope, isn't it? And we need to give the knowledge of salvation to other people, like John the Baptist had to do. But we have to tell people there is forgiveness of sins. The guilt can be removed. That we can have a life without death in it forever. And the God of compassion and mercy has come and forgiven us. And in the joy of forgiveness, and in the knowledge that we are going home to live forever, and we are being held fast, even in the midst of fear, and that Jesus will never abandon us to our foes. We sung that this morning, didn't we? We are liberated, awaiting the final stage. We're on the plane home from our liberation, but we're not home yet. But we can serve him with holiness and righteousness without fear. That is a very important testimony, isn't it, to our world. We need to get other people ready this Christmas time. Maybe a tract you give, maybe a word you say, maybe a carol service they attend. Will we be praying that people become followers of Jesus as they attend our carol services and other events? We need to get people ready. The king is coming. There's another royal visit. He's coming to earth. And the kind of God we need is coming to earth. He came to earth in the first place, and he came again in the second place. No wonder we should praise him, isn't it? No wonder Zechariah erupted and said, "Praise be the Lord, the God of Israel." Amen. Let's pray. Our Father, we want to thank you this morning. We want to thank you this morning that you are the kind of God we need. Thank you for your presence with us throughout this service, for all the truth that has come our way. Oh Lord, thank you for coming to earth in the person of your Son to forgive us of our sins, to remove the guilt, to hold us fast, to bring us home. And there are no graveyards in your new creation. We will never attend the funeral. We will never hold the hand of a loved one as they slip away. and the loved ones who have believed in you, we will be reunited with. And you have done this to your glory, to the honouring of your name. You have reversed the curse. We can't save ourselves, Lord. We know it. Because we can't deliver ourselves from death. We can't deliver each other from death. And we certainly can't deliver anybody who has died from death. So we worship you. And we praise you. O Lord, may all of us know that we are ready this morning in this room. And Lord, if we are ready, then we pray that we may look around us and say, how can I get somebody else ready for the return of the King? In Jesus' name. Amen.